time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Insight on this chilly, blustery Wednesday evening, especially when you compare that I was in Nevis last week, Neil.
Well, is that down by Dayton?
That's just south of Dayton.
Oh, okay.
Just a little bit farther south.
I've never heard of such a place, so I don't know what that is.
It's a pretty cool place. And
well, so is Fort Recovery.
Oh, yeah. But this is... This is not as cool as Fort Recovery, especially from a temperature standpoint.
Oh, let's put it that way. So where is it?
It is...
Spain?
An island in the West Indies.
Oh.
Like, not too far from Puerto Rico, you know. So it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there, you know.
That's good.
Yeah. What is the temperature down there right now? Just to kind of...
You know, it varied so much. Some days it was 84 and some days it was 85. You know,
that's quite the dip there. That's hard to pack to go there.
And probably a little breeze, so it wasn't like hot. It didn't feel like 85. There was a breeze coming off.
It's really pretty.
I want to preface something right now. We are having some kind of technical difficulties, and I'm not certain that you're not going to have to turn your computer, your phone, your volumes up to hear us, but we're going to have everything in the archives at a good volume. But live, I'm not certain. One of our meters is not metering really well. Chuck's been working on it for a couple of days, and now there's been a family emergency, and he's not able to kind of work on stuff. So you might have problems. You might have to turn it up real loud, and we don't think the commercials are gonna blast you. So
yeah. Well, and if there's somebody you want to make sure that you're able to listen to, it's my guest tonight, and he's a superintendent of Fort Recovery Schools, and he's got like all of 6 months under his belt now, and I welcome into studio Mr. Tony Stahl. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
I feel bad having you come in because chances are Wednesday is probably about the only night that you don't have stuff.
Yeah, it's usually the quieter night. That's the quieter night. All good. I don't mind it for sure.
We promised to get
good. We can have you in every week.
Put me down. I don't know how much my wife, if she's listening, would like that. But
hey, bring her along. We'll have food.
Let the kids run around.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. Your kids are awesome.
Yeah. So I tell you what, I think that's a great place to start. Kind of a little bit about Tony Stahl. So you're married.
Yep, I am. Yep.
For how long?
Oh man, this will be going into our ninth year this June.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think I'd do some math on that. Yeah,
and
two kids,
two boys, girl,
boy and a girl, Beckett and Marin. And Mare is two. She'll be three in May here, and then Beckett is four. So
Beckett and Mare
keep our hands full. Yep, that's for sure.
Fantastic. Yep. So, and you know, just looking at the ages and stuff, there's you. Got to be one on the way soon.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I'm busy enough as is right now. I don't know if I can handle one more, but
that's true.
We're doing well, so I appreciate you asking.
So you moved into the superintendent position from being Fort Recovery's high school principal. Okay, so as you have now gotten your feet wet, what's the main difference between those two jobs that kind of opened your eyes?
I think probably one of the biggest things is, you know, they definitely have, you know, like on a Venn diagram, some overlapping things for sure, especially at the high school level, right? From your elementary to middle to high, you know, the high tends that you have a lot more extracurricular options. You have a lot more student enrollment options in terms of the different curriculum that they can access. So you're involved in a lot more of that stuff, certainly. So I think the biggest difference is, and there's, you know, a lot of them, but the high school principal, or really any principal job, is kind of very quick. You know, you're period to period, sometimes minute to minute. You know, you're helping cover classes. You're going to teachers for observations. You're dealing with student issues. You have administrative tasks. You have emails to check. You know, you might be short in the cafeteria. So you're kind of really jam-packing your day and kind of, you know, dealing with the things. You know, you kind of set a plan for that day, and then you deal with the things that kind of happen, you know, whack-a-mole through as you go. Yep. So it's very fast-paced. You're always, you're boom, 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 boom. So that's great. Makes days go very, very fast. But, you know, it's obviously it's exhausting, it's tiring, you got a lot going on. So that's kind of the principal role as opposed to the superintendent role. And we're a small district. So, you know, we definitely kind of have some, you know, superintendent will go down and help and do some things like that. But, you know, in that role, it's a little bit slower. You know, your days, you're working on more bigger projects, kind of looking, you know, months, maybe years down the road, depending on what you might be talking about. And it moves at a little bit of a slower pace in terms of some of those day-to-day things go. But, you know, definitely the decisions you're making and the things you're working on take, you know, a little bit of a deeper dive, a little bit longer, kind of a slower ship to steer at that level, if that makes any sense.
Sure. So in some ways, you're not as busy as you probably felt when you were high school principal, because your days aren't filled with those with those things like that.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, just to give you an example, working on the Attorney General's office put out like a safety grant money that you can kind of get, and so we're looking at potentially applying for that. And so, you know, you spend a lot of time going into, okay, what are the parameters of this grant? What have we spent previously? So you have to look up, you know, some previous purchase orders. You have to find out what companies you've worked with. What do we have in the district? You kind of got to do a self-audit of the safety procedures. And then you look, okay, what do we have? What do we need? And then you dive into, all right, what are the parameters of the grant? What can I spend this money on? How do I go about doing it? You know, is there a school district locally that maybe applied for something similar last year that I can reach out to their superintendent and ask a couple of questions? So, you know, that project, you know, that might eat up most of your morning. Yeah. You know what I mean? As opposed to knocking out, you know, geez, by 9:30 as the high school principal, I'll bet Ryan has done 37 things at that point, you know, and I might just be tackling my second one, if that makes sense.
Sure. So let's talk about the role from a school board standpoint. Okay. So you meet with the Board of Education every month? Twice a month?
Yep, at least monthly. Yep, we have one regularly scheduled meeting every month. And then, you know, periodically there are special meetings, but not too many. For the most part, once a month.
And who are the current members of the Board of Education?
So we've had a little bit of a turnover there, too, recently.
I was thinking that we had two new ones as of January.
Yep, three technically, if you count Don. So Don Wendell is the president, school board president. He was the previous president for the last 4 years. So he's been, you know, he's ran and was elected again. So he's our current president. So he is kind of new, not new, you know, serving a new term, I guess. And then the other two members are Greg Lefevre, who has been on the board previously. Took a little bit of a break here, but he has been a previous board member, but is new for this 4-year term. And then the other one is Mitch Follenkamp. So he's a totally new board member. So they've had one meeting so far under their belts. And then Nick Wehrkamp and Sean Collard kind of round out the five. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the staff that makes up, you know, Fort Recovery Public Schools, and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday, and now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture. I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Community Club's 17th annual Fish Fry is coming up on Saturday, January 20th from 4 to 7 p.m. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixins, French fries, coleslaw, baked beans, and more. It's only $12 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will be available, and it's just $7 for kids 8 and under. It's an annual wintertime treat that everybody looks forward to. The Community Club's annual All-You-Can-Eat Fish Fry at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday, January 20th from 4 to 7 p.m. The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring an All-You-Can-Eat Chili Supper on Friday night, January 19th. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Coldwater. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the Fort Recovery Education Association Scholarship Fund. Get to the Coldwater Boys basketball game early on January 19th and enjoy the Fort Recovery Education Association Chili Supper with all the fixins. Serving will be from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Commons. And be sure to grab some of the Cy Iota Zy's Krispy Kreme donuts after the game.
We're back. Talking to Tony Stahl, the superintendent of schools at Fort Recovery. And so, you know, Tony, as a first-year new superintendent, you're also in charge with three people who are first-year people in their positions, too, correct? Your three principals?
Correct. Yep. The three principals, administrative staff. Deanna Kanapke, our treasurer, is kind of the lone holdout in the same spot. So she's kind of keeping us in line this year. But, yes, that is correct.
And I'll bet Deanna loves it.
Yeah, I think so. We definitely keep it interesting, that's for sure.
Without a doubt. So let's talk about the three principals. Elementary.
Laura Brandt.
Okay.
Yep, and first-year principal.
She was from St. Mary's?
From St. Mary's, and then was a teacher at Salina. Been a teacher in Columbus and a teacher in Salina for the last couple of years. So that's where she came from, was Salina was her last job.
And then both the middle school and high school have a couple of not new to Fort Recovery people, but new to their positions.
So. Yeah, some Fort Recovery grads. So Holly Gann was our athletic director, transportation director the last couple of years, and has moved into kind of more of an administrative role in the middle school. And so she's the principal in the middle school now. And then Ryan Steinbrenner, who was the middle school principal, has kind of followed me and moved up into the high school role. So everybody is either totally new to their job or at least, you know, has been an administrator for a little bit, but is in a new building this year.
Yeah. So as a first-year superintendent, being responsible for the growth of first year principals, I would think that would have to be challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that is a, you know, and again, I'm biased from having been a school administrator and a principal and a superintendent, obviously, now. But I think they're very complicated jobs. I think, you know, it seems everybody's gone through school, so everybody has an idea of, you know, how it is. And, well, it's, you know, it's not that hard to run a school. And it's, you know, you're balancing it's when you're dealing with that many people, and that is our main product. You know, we're not really putting out, you know, products X, Y, and Z. You know, these are students. These are people. These are somebody's sons and daughters. And they're
Each
of them's different, and each year's a little different. And, you know, there's things coming down from, you know, pressure from, obviously, you know, local expectations and what the community wants. And you have, you know, state regulations that you need to follow and Ohio Revised Code and different laws and testing requirements. You know, so kind of balancing all that and then putting it into, you know, obviously a plan that you can execute successfully over a long period of time and dealing with, you know, all the other needs of students, whether those, you know, are mental health or emotional support or food service or transportation and those kinds of things. So, you know, it's definitely can be a very complicated and vaunting job. So often I tell my whole goal this year was, you know, listen and learn, yeah. listen and learn and try to absorb a lot. And that's what I've been kind of telling the principals this year is, you know, you're not going to come in and, you know, it's a great district. There's a lot going well. So and our staff is very, very, you know, our teachers are amazing. Our support staff's amazing. You know, listen to those guys, find out, you know, what they need help with and work on eliminating barriers for them, because they'll take care of most of it. You know, we have a very competent staff. So that's been kind of the biggest thing is trying to impress upon that, because as a leader, you know, people come to you for answers and, you know, you want to have them. And I think it's, you know, when you don't, which, you know, I certainly don't, and first year principals certainly don't, you know, it's a little bit of a tough thing for somebody in that position. Yeah. But we need to ask for help, and it's important.
So, you know, and it's interesting because when, like, you talked about, you know, your goal was to come in and, you know, listen and learn. Yet when you've got three first-year principals under you, I mean, they probably come to you with with your questions. And so there's probably a team, you know, listening and learning that's going on, I guess.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, actually, there's the Bass of the Buckeye Association of School Administrators has a new superintendent program. And so I've been involved in that. It's free of charge. You can go. They offer support, things like that, coaching. And one of the things I heard at a training recently was that superintendency and school administration in general is a team sport. He goes, your question earlier, school principal is like a basketball official. You blow the rule, you make a call, you move on. Yeah. But superintendencies tends to be more of a football official where the flag is thrown, you all get together and talk about it, make a decision, come out with your answer, and then you move on. So definitely that team aspect, you know, is very, very important. We've been, like you said, because we are so new, putting our heads together has obviously been our MO to kind of start as we kind of balance and, you know, get through things together.
And, you know, I know with teachers, because they're under the union thing, and there's probably certain guidelines you have to follow as far as the evaluation process. Mm-hmm,
sure.
Okay. So is the same thing true from a principal standpoint? Like, are you required to, like, do a formal evaluation twice a year? What is the process?
Yeah, so there's a similar process. So there's the Ohio Teacher Evaluation System, OTES, which kind of outlines teachers, and then there's a OPES, which is the Ohio Principal Evaluation System. There's even something similar for guidance counselors as well. So there's kind of these different, you know, various you know, protocol or strategies, not necessarily strategies, I guess it'd be laws that are outlined. So, yeah, so administrators require at least two observations a year, and then you have to have, like, an end-of-the-year kind of conference with them every year. So there is a process for that. That's similar to teachers.
And then from a reporting standpoint, who reports directly to the superintendent?
So there's a handful of people. It's kind of like our operations team. So obviously the building administrators would report up. And then we have, so like Kevin Will is our maintenance supervisor, Lisa Follenkamp, who's our food service provider, Stacy Laux, transportation, Ryan Follenkamp in our technology department. So there's about another maybe half dozen or so plus the building principal. So it's a group of about 10 people that would report directly up to the superintendent. I'm sure I probably forgot somebody in that mix, so I apologize, but that's generally how it works.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing if you forgot somebody, they haven't messed up.
Yeah. If I haven't mentioned your name, you're doing a great job. So.
And if you did mention their name, you also did a great job.
You also did a good job.
In a district like ours, it's small enough that a lot of those jobs, you know, they bounce back and forth. You know, a lot of our, you know, like Lisa Follenkamp does some sub bus driving, and so she'll help out with some of that stuff. So all those people do fantastic jobs, and that's what makes, you know, my job so easy. And one of the reasons it was so enticing of a job to go for is because we do have a lot of great people in those positions.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the staffing piece of it. So when there's an opening, and we'll, you know, look at this from, let's say, three different ways. One is with the staff, that's the cooks and janitors, okay? So bus drivers. So when there's an opening there versus when there's an opening at the elementary level versus when there's an opening at the high school level. How tough is it nowadays to find people for those spots?
You know, like a lot of businesses, private sector, you know, the public sector schools aren't immune. I mean, that's definitely getting more and more challenging in really both fields. You know, we haven't quite experienced probably more so on the classified side, so like drivers, custodians, cafeteria workers, aides, things like that, you know, are where we tend to have a little bit more difficulty finding some you know, staff to fill those roles as opposed to our certified staff teaching. But, you know, if you talk to, especially in a lot of bigger schools and a lot of these colleges and the number of, you know, education graduates that are pursuing teaching degrees, like everything we're hearing is that it's coming, that the numbers are declining, more teachers are retiring, and that that is going to be, you know, we've kind of experienced it in you know, a classified section with some of those jobs, like a lot of, you know, a lot of businesses have in terms of finding employees. But the certified has been a little bit slower to kind of feel that pinch. But I believe, you know, if you believe in what everything else is coming is going to start happening. And the state of Ohio has started to, you know, create some measures to make that a little bit easier. They've started to loosen some of the grade bands. They've allowed district superintendents the flexibility to employ teachers, you know, if they aren't certified here for up to I believe it's a 2-year period in an area that you're not licensed for, to kind of help cover some of those gaps. We haven't quite experienced that yet in Fort Recovery in our local area. But you know, it's getting increasingly more difficult for sure.
But I'm sure having that flexibility can certainly help you get over the hump when things like that happen.
Yes, exactly. And that, you know, that was actually one of the good things, you know, from coming from Columbus to kind of help some of these, you know, snafus and different hiring problems that you run into. But it definitely helps bridge the gap. Because a lot of times if you have, you know, internal person who might not have the right licensure, but, you know, maybe they're a 4-9 licensed math teacher and they need to get a 6-12 grade licensure, you know, so they're not necessarily licensed, but they obviously understand mathematics. Sure. They just might not have the proper licensure. There's a little flexibility there to move them into that role while they go towards the credentials. So that has been certainly helpful. We've been very blessed around the area to have, you know, fill all of our jobs with certified teachers. But, you know, it is increasingly more difficult.
Yeah. You talked earlier about being part of the BASA, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So do you find that in your role from a superintendent standpoint that there's you know, somewhat of a brotherhood with both the local and state?
Oh yeah,
you know, superintendent?
Yes, for sure, for sure. Brotherhood, sisterhood, you know, league of friends, whatever you want to call it. There is definitely a for sure willingness. You know, I've even called superintendents out of the blue because I just know they have a program or opening a course or maybe have a facility question or facility that, you know, maybe we want to do something similar to, you know, and I'll find their email address on their website, you know, just like anybody else, and shoot them an email, and they always respond back. I mean, even if I don't know them, they've never met me. Obviously, we have a very good network locally. You know, there's a lot of really good superintendents locally that are a phone call, text message away that I've certainly tapped into and definitely appreciate all their help. But also at the larger level in the state, you know, there's people at BASA that you can call in Columbus that are all previous or former administrators, principals, superintendents, things like that. So they've all lived it. They've all got a story. They've all got an experience. And they will, you know, pick up the phone and make every effort to give you a call back. So that has been a huge asset to be kind of plugged into both of those locally and, you know, at the state level with some of that assistance for me.
So, and you may not be able to answer this. So, what's been the most helpful piece of advice that one of these other superintendents have, like, you know, given you that kind of changed the way you may approach something or address something?
Yeah, I think the one comment I said earlier has been kind of very eye-opening, maybe not necessarily eye-opening for me, but, you know, it's a team, you know, administration's a team sport. You know, you're not, you know, you are the superintendent, you do have a high degree of authority granted to you, you know, through the board to do a lot of things in a district, but, you know, you can't think of yourself as, well, I'm the authoritative person on everything that happens in here, because you're not. I mean, it's you have, like I mentioned, all those people that are part of our operations team, all of those teachers, you know, every single one of those people knows their job a heck of a lot better than I know their job. And so, you know, to have that mindset of, you know, this is a team sport. You know, if we have something in the elementary third grade, you know, I'm going to go talk to the elementary principal and maybe get the input of some of those third grade teachers before we do something. Yeah. So having that mindset, you know, and obviously sometimes, you know, with finite resources, small district, you know, know, group A is pitted against group B due to time constraints or financial resources or whatever it may be. But, you know, to be able to go to both sides and look at those things and get input from multiple stakeholders and come to a conclusion, I mean, to me, that's how the superintendency should operate. It's a very collaborative role. It's a teamwork. You know, you ultimately are signing a lot of papers and are responsible for it all. But, you know, to get to those points, it shouldn't be, you know, authoritative top-down. It should be a very much a team, you know, effort. And that's one of the things that they've you know, preached a lot at some of these Bassett things that I've been to that I've really kind of hung on to.
Good. So, from a, you know, so there's such a difference between the job of a principal and a, you know, superintendent, and you touched on those, but you, when like you look at it from a finance and budgeting standpoint, transportation, facilities, being the educational leader in the community. Which part of it was easiest for you to slide into, and which part of it had the biggest learning curve?
Well, for sure. A lot of it is very new and foreign to me, you know. So I elementary, right? I've never been an elementary teacher. I've worked in an elementary building, but I've never been an elementary teacher. Never been an elementary principal. So that world is a little foreign to me. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, transportation. I'm not sure. I mean, thank God we have Dino Kanapke, because I'm not sure I would be able to. You know, I can drive a bus. They gave me a CDL, but I'm not quite sure how they gave that to me, because I think I failed my air brake test about four or five times. So there's and Kevin Will with some of our maintenance stuff, the heating and cooling HVAC. I mean, that he saves us so much money. I mean, it's unbelievable the things he can do. Yeah. So there's a lot of it. Like, you know, that stuff, that is very foreign to me. Yep. You know, and I've never claimed to be an expert on, you know, a lot of those different facility things. That's why we have competent people, and I work with them. And that's where I found, you know, more of my role is more of a communicator, a collaborator, and kind of moving all those pieces together. Because when you're trying to get, you know, a certain project done, it might take, you know, a little bit of a community assistance or working with Randy Diller in the town, for example. And then, you know, your athletic director, your maintenance, and maybe your tech department. And so kind of putting all those pieces together in the right formula has really been where I've found more my role. So that's always been, I think, you know, as an educator, teacher, coach, principal, and now obviously superintendent, you know, that has always been to interact with people and to have those conversations has been, at least in my opinion, a little bit more of a strength of mine, you know, but not necessarily to be an expert in all of that other stuff.
Sure.
So I think between that has been more of my strength, and obviously the instructional piece, you know, obviously from a teaching standpoint and, you know, aligning curriculum and working with teachers to develop their, you know, improve them through the evaluation process, or at least put them to, you know, put them in front of resources that are going to stretch them to their better, you know, their full potential, just like you would a student in your class. Yep. You know, that sort of thing I think I'm okay at as well.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk about results, okay, and how we doing kind of type stuff. So we'll be back right after this.
And I do want to warn our listeners, our sound, the speaking coming through the soundboard is not translating well into the broadcast.
Well, then they can't hear what you're saying anyway.
They can, because they have it turned way up. So now turn it way down, because the commercials are going to come in at the normal volume, and it's going to blast you. So I'll give you a couple of seconds here to turn your sound down a little bit, or step back from your speakers.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The annual open house at Hall Brothers is set for Wednesday through Saturday, January 24th through the 27th. Stock up now on oils, filters, sweeps, belts, and points. Everything you know you're going to need this year. All parts are discounted during the week. It's our busiest week of the year, so feel free to pre-order and avoid the lines. Open house is coming up January 24th through the 27th at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH and Kubota dealer in Fort Recovery.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will go to Coldwater to take on the Lady Cavaliers, and that will be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast, and the NFHS video will be available for the game. On Friday, the boys will host Coldwater. That will be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast, and our audio will also be heard on the NFHS video. The Fort Recovery Education Association will have their chili supper in the Commons before the game. Serving will be from 4:30 to 6:30, and after the game, the Cy Iota's Eye will be selling their Krispy Kreme donuts. Get out to the games to support our Indians teams, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. The Fort Recovery Knights of Columbus, Council 3324, are again sponsoring their annual free throw contest, and all boys and girls ages 9 to 14 are invited to compete. The event is free, and it will be held at the elementary middle school gym on Sunday evening, January 28th at 6:30, and the doors will open at 6 o'clock for practice. Our 9, 10, and 11-year-olds will shoot from 12 feet, and 12, 13, and 14-year-olds will shoot from the standard 15-foot foul line. Trophies will be awarded for all age groups for both boys and girls, and the winners in each category will advance to the district free throw contest in early February with a chance to move on to the regional, state, and national competitions. The sign-up forms are available at school and will also be available the evening of the competition. Feel free to contact Greg Lefevre if you have questions at 419-852-2654. Come and join the fun at the KFC's annual free throw contest held at the elementary middle school gym on Sunday evening, January 28th, with the contest starting at 6:30.
We'll give you a little bit of chance here to turn the volume back up so you can hear us talking after the commercials go through loud. And so we're back, and sorry about the technical difficulties, but we've been working on it for a while and can't get it solved, so... Not sure how we're going to get it solved, but we will.
So, you know, I hear that Tony Stahl's an expert at this technology stuff.
I don't know about that. No. I would. There's a lot of people that would testify to the all.
I would bet that someone who reports directly to him could figure it out after a little bit.
Yeah, we have some people up there. Wait, there's a long list before my name's on that.
If we're calling Tony to fix our technology, we may be screwed.
Things have gone bad, that's for sure.
Well, he would be before me on the list, but
so, you know, I was wanting to touch on, you know, the district is still kind of celebrating to a certain extent,
sure,
being named the Blue Ribbon School.
Yep, middle school Blue Ribbon.
Mm-hmm. So when, like, and, you know, that was geared towards the middle school, but I'm sure many people played a part in it. So when, like, you look at the results across the board from a district standpoint, how are we doing?
Overall, very, very well. I mean, from a lot of, you know, statistical measures of what would consider, you know, quote unquote, a good school or a great school. I mean, you can look at, you know, obviously financial numbers, your facilities, academic scores, you know, whether that's your performance index, graduation rate, ACT average, you know, all, there's all kinds of things that you can look at. I mean, Fort Recovery Local Schools is an extremely high performing district, you know, in the state of Ohio and even locally. You know, I think our last year, you know, we were, I think, in the top 50, 42nd in the entire state in terms of our performance index at, I think it was a 102.2, something like that. So that puts us, like I said, in the top 50 in the state. And that,
and what all does that take into consideration?
So that's generally, I mean, that's, you know, it's not the end all be all. You can go through, you know, the Department of Education, or I guess the Department of Education Workforce now, dues website, and find all sorts of statistical reports and runs and things. But that, generally speaking, the your performance index score is basically the culmination of all of your tested subjects and all of your grade levels, and each building kind of gets one. And so how well those students do on that, the higher that number, generally speaking.
Got you.
So that is a good rule of thumb to where a lot of schools look at.
And then from a financial standpoint, when it comes to dollars per student, where do we stand?
Really good. Really good. Like I mentioned, Deanna earlier, she does a fantastic job as our district treasurer, and the board, you know, working together with her to kind of set the direction and move the money where it needs to be moved and budget appropriately. So we have got ourselves in a very, very good financial position moving forward in terms of, you know, the ability to have True Days cash moving into to the future. But also, you know, where we're spending the money, and that's what I kind of talked about a little bit earlier off air, was that I just saw something the other day that of our it costs roughly about $10,000 or so, $10,600 and change, to educate a student a year. And so of that money, we spend about 72-73% of it on classroom instruction. So, you know, $3 out of every $4 spent on a kid is spent on, you know, classroom instruction, not necessarily a lot of those support things that we had talked about earlier. So that puts us 6th out of 184 similar districts in the state of Ohio. And so one would being, you know, the highest amount spent on student instruction or classroom instruction, you know, and we're 6th in there. So in the top 10 of that out of 184 similar districts in the state.
So when you say, okay, that, so the 6th is the 72% that you were talking about. That's a very high percentage of our budget that is spent directly on student learning.
Yep, on student instruction, in the classroom, student instruction, exactly.
Does that include benefits?
You know, that's a great question. It would include teacher salaries, and so usually those benefit packages are kind of the same thing. So I would have to look how they actually calculate that, but I would say it probably does. But that could be anything from, you know, teacher salaries to, you know, textbooks, materials, things like that. Everything that would be for material, you know, not necessarily all materials in the district, but instructional materials.
So as like you talk about the curriculum, it seems like the state is always given us new requirements and such. So what type of educational changes are happening now or will be happening to meet different graduation requirements?
Yeah, that's where there's been, I mean, there's always movement, right? The only thing that stays the same is change, right? That adage goes true for about everything you do. But the high school has definitely experienced, you know, a high degree of change, particularly, as you mentioned, with the graduation changes. So the class of 2022 and beyond is where they kind of had switched these. So we've been working, we being, you know, the state of Ohio and all these educators, since like 2018 was kind of when it was starting to, hey, this is coming, this is rolling out, and districts could start using the new ones but also using the old ones, and it kind of was a phase-in period, and then we had COVID in there, and that kind of gummed a lot of stuff up. But really, so 2022 and beyond. And so we've been using it for a couple of years now, but it's, you know, it's just starting to kind of really creep into the high schools with how this is going to impact, you know, education moving forward in the state of Ohio. And so the goal has always been, you know, the three E's after graduation. We want them enrolled, we want them enlisted, or we want them employed somewhere, right? Depending on, you know, what their different career and life path might take. And they're all great. And so that's where we've started to focus on, okay, if that's the end goal, that's that's always been the goal. And now the state has kind of given us these new graduation requirements. How do we start to put some of these pieces into our high school, into our curriculum, utilize our staff to get students on these different paths, whether that is college, whether that is being employed or potentially going into to the military. And so generally speaking, you know, a kid needs to have 20 credits. A minimum of 20 credits to graduate, and that's your traditional classes, right? Yep. Reading, writing, math, all that. You take those, you add them up, you get 12 or 20 credits at the end. But then the big changes are you have to demonstrate competency. And so that is kind of the second level of what it takes to graduate now. And so there's five options for that. And you could, it could be something like passing some tests, pass Algebra 1, pass your ELA 2 test, or enter the course, kind of what makes up that part of what makes up that PI score that we talked about. Or you can take college credit classes and get certain scores on college credit classes. You can enlist in the military, or you can pursue what is called an industry credential. And so the Department of Education and Workforce, which just changed in October, has workforce in it now. And so there's a big push to kind of have schools and educational institutions across the state focus on industry credentials. And what those are is there's a giant list of all of these things, you know, of what a student could pursue. And so if you obtain these, just to give you an example, like we do one at Fort Recovery that is called, it's the Rise Up Industry Credential. So it's a customer service certificate and a retail industry expert certificate. You can take these classes and our teachers teach it, and then there's a certificate that you can get that has, you know, an actionable certificate or skill or level of knowledge that a student, you know, by passing that test and getting that certificate would be able to obtain what is called an industry credential. And if you earn, okay, if you earn 12 of those, that can check, you know, that second box for graduation and potentially a third one, which the third one is you have to earn so many seals. There's 12 seals. One of those seals could be obtaining an industry credential. So that's where there's some, you know, there's some incentive for schools to kind of go, kind of, you know, two birds with one stone kind of idea. But so we've worked in, and we have three of these in our school now that we're working on kind of creating programs for students to be able to get these.
Yeah. And then, so would TriStar also offer you their own list of?
Yep. Absolutely. So, and we send, I think we send anywhere, depending on the year, 50 to 60, you know, junior and senior students, yep, can go to TriStar. And we send about 50 or 60% of all those eligible students.
Yeah.
You know, so over half of our juniors and seniors, usually, historically, the last couple of years, have attended TriStar in those programs. And they have everything, you know, STNA, which is like a nursing field, yep, prerequisite, and also welding. You can get welding, yep, certificates over there as well. So, yeah, they do some, but also then, you know, there's students that are more, you know, all right, I don't want to go to TriStar. They don't have a program, but also, you know, I want to stay at Fort Recovery and take my classes there. What are some options for me? And so that's where we're trying to, you know, it started with TriStar. Now it's kind of starting to trickle down into,
yeah,
the school, if that makes sense.
Wow. So from that standpoint, does it change the classes that are offered at the high school now?
Yeah, so we've done a couple things over the last couple of years to help, you know, kind of adjust to this changing landscape and put our kids in a good position to be able to not only graduate. I mean, obviously the main goal is to get these students to, you know, to graduate with a diploma. But, you know, at a school like Fort Recovery, we, you know, we're very blessed that the majority of our students, you know, perform very well academically, yeah, have strong parental support and are being pushed to excel and achieve. And, you know, we can get that graduation, you know, requirement real, I wouldn't say easy. It takes, yeah, a lot of work to get there, but,
sure,
you know, we're looking at, all right, we want these kids to graduate while also learning and gaining skills that's going to lead to eventual, you know, employment, and kind of increasing our focus in that area of,
yep,
improving and increasing the relevancy of what they're doing in school to, you know, their future careers or things they're interested in. And so yes, yeah, so what we don't like to, you know, totally change just for the sake of change either, though. So,
sure,
what we've really started to look at is trying to kind of align what we're already doing in our curriculum with what we feel are relevant, you know, industry credentials. And so for one, yeah, example, one that we're working on right now through our ag program, which is kind of a partnership through Rhodes in Lima, yep, Rhodes State, they've received a grant that they're going to come and train our students to do what's called a agricultural commodity tester. And so those students will be taught that curriculum through Rhodes at Fort Recovery, and then eventually they'll be able to go to Rhodes and take a certificate test to become a licensed agricultural commodity tester in the state of Ohio. They'll receive that certificate, and that would be things that, you know, we're already kind of doing in our ag program, teaching students how to, you know, read commodities and judge the moisture in grain, yeah, and, you know, the size and quantity and scope of what, you know, farmers are bringing in to sell and things like that. So, yeah, that certificate program, we're kind of working on introducing it into our livestock management class. And so that's good knowledge for, you know, it helps a kid get an industry credential if they pass the certificate test. It also gives them good knowledge for careers, certainly in our area. But also if you're a home, you know, agriculture farming unit, you know, you have that knowledge of yourself. So it's a good relevant skill. So that's things like that we're starting, yep, to look at and kind of align to our, you know, what we already do, the staff we have, the classes we teach, and not necessarily just, you know, blowing everything up and starting from scratch has kind of been, yeah, our theory the last couple of years.
As like you look at these changes, you know, there's a time when you looked at high school and you asked, so, you know, what new classes do you see coming? It was things like teaching kids how to speak Japanese to a certain extent, or, you know, it was, so as you use that crystal ball, what's coming up that you think will be required? Or
You know, it's hard to say. We've got our gamut, the ones that we do right now, we have, like I said, we have ag commodity testing, we have industry credential in customer service, yep, which we felt was relatively relevant for anybody. And then we also have officiating, which we're kind of testing out, you know, athletic officiating for basketball, volleyball for the second half of this year, kind of a pilot program for that. But I think eventually, I mean, obviously, technology is always going to be, you know, a big one generally artificial intelligence,
yeah,
the development of, you know, anybody, you know, doing computer programming, you know, they've started to flex some of the credits. We don't offer it at Fort Recovery, so I'm not super familiar, but you can get, you know, some of your math credit through computer programming now to try to get students more in line with some of that stuff. So I definitely TriStar, you know, we've had some students go to cybersecurity. That's a relatively, yeah, new program. They've expanded their engineering program over there. So some of those kinds of fields I think are always going to be, you know, very quick, you know, fast growing and high demand jobs, and increasingly more so. So I definitely see us, you know, and we do. Mr. Kearns, our computer teacher at the high school, does a great job, and he already teaches some college credit classes. So we're kind of starting to roll some stuff into that. But I definitely see that that's a need. And then obviously agriculture is always a huge need, you know, across, sure, the country, but particularly in our area. And, yeah, so that's an area that there's a lot of career tech program and money to kind of help some of that stuff. And our FFA program is fantastic. We have a ton of students involved in that. So I think those are probably two areas. And then obviously where those fields merge too, I think is an interesting. I believe it's this week we have a team of four or five students heading to Columbus for the biotechnology state finals to participate in that FFA. So that's kind of the merging of those two fields. So,
that's amazing.
So I think those two areas I think are definitely going to be, you know, in the future, particularly for our area, that you're always going to have jobs and a need for teaching kids to do some of those things, yep, in my opinion.
Fantastic. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. And
so start turning your volume down because the commercials will be louder.
Yeah. And we'll be back to talk about the extracurricular part of things. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac Automatic Standby Generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
checked out Wayne IGA's new meat bundles? They have order slips back at their meat counter. Their farm bundle has a nice assortment of their most popular beef, pork, and chicken cuts. Their pork bundle has bacon, bulk and casing sausage, and bone-in and boneless pork chops. And their steak bundle has cube steaks, plus ribeyes, New York strips, and T-bones. Stop back at their meat counter for more details. Freezer wrapping is available for a small extra charge. Get stocked up for winter and have some left over for spring. Head up to Wayne IGA now and get your meat bundles ordered. Wayne IGA, the best meat market around. The Fort Recovery VFW Post will be hosting a comedy night on Saturday, February 3rd, starting at 7:30. Three nationally touring comedians, Ian Miller, Lori Graves, and headliner Carlin Haggerty, will provide 2 hours of great comedy. These comedians have performed at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Dayton, and Cincinnati, and in clubs all around the country. The public is welcome, and tickets are only $10 each and can be purchased at our VFW Post. Where else can you get a great night of entertainment for only $10? Get them now because there will only be a limited number of tickets available. There will be adult language in this show, and you must be at least 18 to attend and 21 to be served. Make your plans now to get to the VFW's comedy night on Saturday, February 3rd, with nationally touring comedians Ian Miller, Lori Graves, and headliner Carlin Haggerty. The Fort Recovery Sons of the American Legion will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, February 11th. You can get your tickets from any Sons member, and they're only $10 each. Serving will be from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can eat your dinners at the Legion or take them home. For tickets, you can call 419-852-6916 or 419-852-0316, or look up one of the Sons of the Legion members and get your tickets now for their annual barbecue chicken dinner coming up on Sunday, February 11th at the Legion, with serving from 4 to 6 p.m.
You can turn your volumes back up now the commercials are over.
Let me know when.
Yeah,
we're back.
Yes, Jack.
So, I tell you what, it has been a quick hour.
It has,
you know?
I agree.
So, one of the things I want to make sure that we touch on, first of all, is any events that are planned, scheduled. You know, I know that, man, it seems like there's always something cool going on that people should know about. So
and that's what I was actually kind of thinking in my office this afternoon, doing a little prep for this tonight, and I kind of thought, I always go in and say, oh, it's such a busy time of year, and I always think that there's going to be a not busy time of year by thinking that mentality. And I've been doing this for over 10 years now, and I don't think there ever
it never happened.
There never is a non-busy time of year. But yeah, I mean, this week, we've had swim team, Muncie last night. Sage Wendell broke another record. Girls basketball team.
Yeah, he beat his record by...
Yeah, like killed it. Like
eight.
Yeah. It was awesome. So,
yeah. Wow.
We had, four or five kids participate in district honors at the Nyswanger in Van Wert this past Sunday. Friday night is, we have, obviously, quarter coming to town, boys game, but it's FREA, Chili Supper, the sorority donut night. I mean, we got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So it's a busy week, and every week's a busy week. But I do want to say one public service announcement, if I can,
yes,
at
sir.
This time.
Absolutely.
This is from our Mrs. Brand, our elementary principal, wanted me to make sure that I mentioned that we're beginning to get our list of potential kindergartners together, and that anyone who has a kid who turns 5 before August 1, 2024, should check out our Facebook page, Elementary Fort Recovery Elementary School Facebook page, or website to fill out a form to get on our list. We're hoping to get it together by February 7th. So if you got a potential kindergartner, anyone who has a kid turns 5 before August 1, 2024, check out the elementary Facebook page or website to fill out a form. And we also have preschool registration, so a little bit of younger kids. That's going to open online March 11th at 8 a.m. And this will be on the Fort Recovery preschool website. So Fort Recovery regular school page, go to the preschool tab, and we'll also post some stuff on Facebook, social media. But that's going to go out and make sure that if you have a preschooler, potentially you can sign up for that registration. And information will also be on there. So potential kindergartners, potential preschoolers, make sure you stay tuned with what the elementary is posting out on the website and social media. It is that time of year. So that's what I wanted to get out there.
Fantastic.
For her,
so and you did that well, so I don't think you'll get in trouble.
If Laura, you're listening, hopefully that was okay. You can yell at me tomorrow.
Except that the date is February 29th. No. No, that's not
hopefully
true.
Hopefully those were the right dates, but that's why I read it. I wanted to make sure I got it exactly.
What I said was not true. Tony's was right.
But it is an interesting time of year because you're living in kind of, you have all of that stuff I mentioned, you know, just this week going on, but you also have 1 foot, you know, in 2024, 2025, and start to plan some of those things, make some staffing decisions, and register students, obviously, and figure out, you know, what curriculum we need to be teaching a year before it happens. So it gets challenging.
So when like it comes to the staffing decisions, you know, some people think, well, you know what, they got till August to figure that out.
Sure.
But that's really not the case, is it?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, right? I mean, you technically have until school starts, you know, to make changes. But, you know, you want to have, I mean, especially, you know, to have things ironed out and smooth and to and that's really what you want. You want a great experience for the end user, the student, when they come in, you know, walk in the doors in August 2024 and have things ready to roll. So, you know, in order to do that, it starts now and to make sure that we have, you know, we can get good candidates. We can, you know, not that there's competition, but there is competition amongst the local schools to get, you know, the jobs filled and to get qualified people and to get those things posted and communicated and vetted and hired and interviewed and on the board agenda to be approved. So it's definitely quite a process, and you want to get going to be in front of things.
Well, and if I was going to be a teacher that is a third grade teacher this year that's going to be moving to fourth grade next year, to be able to let them know that and have the summer to kind of plan and prepare is only right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, small districts, you know, we have kind of those, you know, class sizes, a little bit of bubbles, big, little, that kind of move up. So we definitely have some of that moving. And so, you know, you're right, the earlier you can kind of flesh that out a little bit, the better it is for certainly that teacher and planning in that building to accommodate that.
Is like there a goal from a classroom size to where, okay, if we have 76 kids, we're going to have four classes of 19, or we're going to have three classes of 25.
Yeah.
So it's like there's some sort of a cutoff.
There's no official cutoff for that. I mean, obviously you want to factor in, you know, there's a lot of factors. There's you know, the age of the student. You know, obviously the younger tends to be probably a bigger issue in terms of class size versus an older student.
Sure.
You know, the financial situation of the district, the availability of staff, the needs of the students in that class. You know, just because you have, you know, a number of 80 and, you know, might be sound like a high number of a grade, but a class of 63 with a lot of high needs can be just as challenging to address. Sure. So there's a lot of it that goes on into that. There is no official number. There is some things with like an open enrollment student. So like if an open enrollment student comes and says, hey, you know, I'm coming from, you know, Missinawaw and I want to come into school, you know, if it'll put us to a certain number, we will not, you know, allow that student to come. Okay. So there is some stuff like that, but not, you know, if it's a Fort Recovery resident and things like that, we'll kind of make it work as best we can.
So how many open enrollment students do we have this year?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'd have to talk to Lindsay Reinhardt, who also does a fantastic job in our office. But I'd say it's probably in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 probably.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Do we have anywhere near that many that go somewhere else from us to somewhere else?
No, we definitely get more. We get more coming in than going out.
Yeah.
For sure. Which is a testament to the school and, you know, people want to be here, and it's a good place. So,
do we get any Indiana, and if we did, how does that work as far as money?
You can. It's a tuition. I think the tuition, the state sets the tuition based on like the average. It might be like $10,000 a year or something like that. Maybe $6,000. I'm not sure the exact amount, but we do not get a lot of those, any of those.
But but that tuition would be paid by the student.
Yes,
right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. That would be an out-of-state tuition.
So, I mean, basically be about like, you send your kid to college to a certain extent.
Well, or to a private school, like Salina IC or Delta St. John or
Layman, Sydney Layman. Yeah, something like that. Yep, similar.
Yeah.
So, goals for the upcoming year?
Lights in the gym parking lot.
Lights in the gym parking lot. Where at? Where
Robert.
At? We need a light out there?
I'm almost terrible.
Really? South side?
Yeah. Yeah. It's dark back here.
Really?
Ran the other night.
Okay.
All right. I hit seven.
Yeah. Really?
Well, the problem is,
do the police know that, Harold?
There's slick spots in the old ice hall. I carried out Buck May's wife.
Oh.
Yeah, she's held on because that smart fall. God love her. It is dark. Check it out.
All right, I'll check it out. Okay.
Yep.
Well, you said lights in the
parking lot.
School parking lot?
Yep.
And Tony says, outside?
Oh, Jesus. Hey, that's what I said earlier. We got a lot of really good people that are dealing with those things. I bring it to their attention to get it together.
I even heard that part.
I'm not installing any lights anywhere. Let's put it that way.
So,
nor do you want me to.
Two final questions, okay?
We still have one more commercial break if you want to do that.
Then let's take a break, and I'll ask my two final questions right after this.
And then we can kind of do an overview. So start turning your sound down because the commercials are going to be at higher volume than the audio.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Stroll Appliance and Electronics has GE appliances in stock and ready for your home. Strolls has GE washers and dryers, dishwashers, refrigerators, ranges, freezers, and microwaves. For instance, get a GE 14 cubic foot frost-free upright freezer for $699, save $150. And Strolls now carries the all-new GE Nugget ice makers, so you'll never be short on ice. That's Stroll Appliance and Electronics, 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland, serving the Jay and Mercer areas for 84 years.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Friends of the Fort Recovery Library invite you to join them at 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening, January 23rd, as professional quilter Sheila Painter shares her program, Kid Lit in Quilts. This program is free and open to the public. Ms. Painter has created real-life quilts that reflect and mimic artwork in children's literature. Come see the beautiful pieces, hear her many book reviews, and learn what the illustrators have to say about her work. That's Kid Lit in Quilts with professional quilter Sheila Painter, displaying and talking about her quilts, reflecting artwork found in popular kids' literature. That's at 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening, January 23rd, at our library.
We're back. Talking to Mr. Tony Stahl, superintendent of Fort Recovery Schools.
Yep, turn the volume back up now.
Talking to Tony! Oh.
Not you.
No, not me? Okay. Sorry.
Yes, you are.
I am. So, Tony, we have covered a lot of area here. Let's talk about goals for the rest of the school year or for the upcoming calendar year. You got any that you're working on?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, the big thing personally for me has been to just adjust and learn the new role. You know, and so kind of there's some personal metrics in my mind that I'm, you know, if we can do this by a certain time, or if I can get this done, and you know, get some feedback from, you know, my admin team or board members and things like that, just kind of like I'm personally working on it. Those would be things like, you know, I want to make sure that people don't notice, you know, and again, I don't have great ways to measure this, but, you know, they don't notice a dip in services. So like we had talked about earlier, we have a whole new admin team, new superintendent, 20% of our staff actually is in a completely new role or is completely new to the district. And so you're talking one out of every five people, you know, across the district in a new role or totally new to Fort Recovery. And so one of my personal goals has been, you know, I want our parents and students to not notice any drop off in services that things have been going. So that's kind of a personal goal for me. And again, that's hard to measure, but you can do anecdotally and get some feedback, which I'm always kind of soliciting. But I think from a school district standpoint, obviously our culture and commitment guide that Larry Brown, previous superintendent, had kind of put together with, you know, the board direction and the team is, is huge. It expires in 2024. So our goal, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we're at a PI of 102.2, and our goal by fall of 2024 is to have a 106, which would definitely put us in the top 10 in the state. So obviously a very ambitious goal. So we're at a 102. We want to get to a 106. So this is kind of the last year of testing that will lead to that in terms of getting those scores, but also kind of setting, you know, updating that culture and commitment guide, not necessarily blowing it up and creating something new, because we have a lot of really good kind of, you know, guiding principles. That's kind of what it's for, but to ensure that those are accurate in not only the numbers to kind of reflect, because obviously we've moved from where we were when we set them 3 or 4 years ago, but I think also to kind of work on some of those things that we've talked about, like how do we increase relevancy for our students? What classes do we need to start developing now to get our students ready for tomorrow? And so kind of incorporating those, obviously at the high school level that we've started to do, but to push those down into the middle and elementary to kind of get them focused on, you know, the aligning them to where they're eventually going to be. So I think there's a lot of work. So like there's some personal goals. I think there's some district goals and reworking that culture and commitment guide, which we actually have a special board session here in a couple weeks that we have kind of a person coming in that's going to help work through some of that, just to kind of do a retweak on that for 2024 and beyond. So repurposing that with obviously our PI, setting academic goals, updating our finance goals. And obviously you're always worried about, you know, building safety and culture and climate and those types of things, but then also, you know, the larger goals of what we need to be doing now in terms of creating new classes and new curriculum and hiring and putting people in the right spots to be ready for the future. So there's a lot of different components to that, but yeah. I think generally that's, you know, some things that we're working on in 2024.
Fantastic.
Let me ask you real quick, because you kind of said something about it, made me kind of think. In general, we've been very well off financially compared to some of the other schools in the state and around. You see every once in a while somebody said, you know, our district is going to be out of money if we don't change things here in the next year or something. It seems to me like we've been in very good shape for a while. Are we still in pretty good shape? And I know the state keeps changing rules and stuff, and sometimes you think you're getting money that isn't coming. Are we, and do we anticipate being continue to be in pretty good shape financially?
Yeah, one of our, I mean, obviously our goal as a district is to stay away from, you know, asking for new money for as long as we can in terms of going back to voters, passing mm-hmm. levies and things like that. And we don't have, as of right now, within our 5-year forecast is very positive, even kind of at the tail end of that. And so, like I had said earlier, our board members, previous superintendents, Deanna Canapke, our treasurer, has done a fantastic job of putting us in a position, setting money aside, you know, making, you know, budgeting decisions in a very fiscally responsible way that doesn't, you know, jeopardize, you know, our services that we offer for students, but has put us in a very nice spot. So for the, you know, the next 5 years for sure, which is always a little bit of a crapshoot, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're using your rearview mirror to determine where you're going with that 5-year forecast. But, it, you know, for the next 5 years, it is very, very positive.
Yeah, because there's so much that depends on, well, the state just decided instead of this kind of money going out, we're going to give you a whole lot less, and that kind of that. You can't anticipate that, but if it's so, and I was thinking we were still that way, but I, you know, you keep reading in the paper a couple of times a year where some school district mm-hmm. is saying, well, we're going to be in the red in 2 years, mm-hmm. and there ain't much we can do about it.
Yeah. Nope. We are in a very good financial spot.
Good.
Sure.
Good, good, good.
My last question, okay? You know, as the education leader of the community, okay, Is there any leadership guru that you follow or that you read that, not that you necessarily you emulate, but you just find that their thinking lines up well with the way that you would like to lead?
So one of the guys that I've, that's a good question. There's a lot. It kind of changes, you know, in the podcasts and things you can get into. But one of the guys I really have found myself listening a lot to, and he puts out a weekly email and a weekly podcast, is Ryan Hawk. Yep. And it's AJ Hawk's, I don't know if it's, I think it might be his
brother.
Older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's out of the Centerville area.
Yeah.
And he has, he kind of has a little partnership with, gosh, what's the Minster's old coach name?
Mike Lee.
Nah, not Leland. Football. Stokes.
Oh, yeah.
And him, and then it's Brooks Cupp, who I believe is a Centerville basketball coach. They kind of have a local group that they do some leadership stuff. And Ryan Hawk is kind of the Learning Leader podcast. If you're out there listening and you want to plug for that, I don't know why I'd plug it. It's not my podcast, but it's one I listen to on Spotify a lot. And he always has a different person on, a different leader, and he calls it the Learning Leader. And so that's one thing that I mentioned earlier, that we have all these people that do all these really great things, and my job is to just kind of put it all together and find the best way to synergize all of that talent and effort.
And stay out of the way.
And stay out of the way and let it happen, absolutely. And I think that's one of his big goals. It's called the Learning Leader Podcast. And so he kind of takes leaders and tries to find, you know, what are the ways they learn, what works best for them, what have they found a lot of success, and kind of takes it out. And then at the end of every episode has his kind of like top 10 takeaways. So I was listening to that on my way over here tonight, actually. So he just pulled one out Monday.
Well, you know, and you know, I don't think that there's any doubt that when you've got three young new principals, that the leadership and those lessons learned can trickle down really easily. You know, so man, from everything I have heard, you know, I don't know whether we can hope for anything a whole lot more than what we've accomplished here. So that's in large part to you and your staff, and kudos, fella.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and thank you guys for what you do. I wanted to talk about this at the beginning, but I mean, you know, all the coverage you give the school and invite us up here to do this stuff, I mean, it's always a great relationship, so we certainly appreciate it. In the gala, I mean, what was that number this year? I mean, you talk about a community service. You guys do a fantastic job, so thank you for all you do.
That was extremely well planned out, and I had a great part in that, and as you said, get somebody to do it and stay out of the way. I did that.
Yeah. Well, we had a really good time with it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So and thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's neat to be able to feel like you're helping out a little bit. But again, it's a community that does it. It's just like, you know, your success depends largely upon the parents of the students, you know. So
that's I don't really do anything. There's a lot of people that do a lot of really good stuff for us, and I am just, you know, the benefit of all of that, which is a great spot to be in. I'm very
well. You're to blame when things go wrong. So you
that is also true. Yes, so that can be cut both ways, I guess.
I hope that never happens.
But Tony, I tell you what, thank you for coming up. It's been a quick hour and 12 minutes.
Yep.
And we're right on time for the 8 o'clock sports talk.
Again, 8:16, time for sports talk.
So we will see you next week for Insight, and stay tuned for sports talk with Bubba and Fee.
Yep, and start turning your volume down a little bit. Here comes the commercials and the outro.
Here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.